Oh, it is May 2nd. We're back. Apologies all around. It has been a chaotic winter. The number one first question is, where the hell have we been? Snowmobiling, chasing snow, just going through the motions. Crazy season, got it all knocked out. But as you guys, Midwest, East Coast listeners, even guys in the West, it was a terrible winter. It was the most chaotic, unplanned week by week rather than month by month planning schedule just to try and put out the 10, 12 episodes on the YouTube channel, create all the content, shoot all of next year's gear, capture all the stuff for social. It was a whirlwind, but we did it, and we're back with the pod. Keep you guys entertained through the summer months here, and I don't want to give you false hope, but hopefully continuing this thing longer and longer now into next season, because I have a good friend here, Tristan Gallagher. Oh, I got rid of the the claps. Here we have this one instead.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Crickets.
Good introduction there. Hello, everybody.
If you guys have been paying attention over the last couple years here, Tristan's made a few appearances and some videos, but behind the scenes, he's been doing a lot of just kick-ass work. He's become a hell of a good cameraman from photo to video. You've been on some awesome shoots and learned a lot along the way. But the most important thing is you're another Midwest transplant here that I can relate to.
Minnesota boy, moved out to Idaho. Idaho is a place to be for sure.
Don't tell people that.
I mean, Minnesota is the place to be for sure.
But kind of Tristan is going to just co-host. You're going to be here. So when we got weeks where things go radio silent and we don't have a guest because all of our athletes are scattered all over the country, Tristan is a consistent thing here in-house at 509 now, and you just get to listen to us ramble about everything and anything snowmobile, dirt bike related, whatever's going on.
And I think many things other than that.
Yeah. We got some stuff planned for sure.
Yeah, it'll be good.
Since it's the first one back here and you're going to be a pretty consistent face here, Tristan, little backstory for everybody listening, who you are, where you're from, what's your deal, man?
Man, I've done a couple of these behind the camera and it feels good to be in front of it for once. It's a cool change.
Yeah, no, he's been back there on some of the last pods
we did. Every 30 minutes.
We've yelled at him a few times in the previous episodes, and so this is the man we've been yelling at.
Yep. Anyway, born and raised in Minnesota. I wasn't always into power sports. I mean, I grew up dirt biking and sledding in the yard and whatnot, but then there was a long hiatus there for sure. And then thankful to some buddies, I got back into it. But then before that, I got into like photography and cameras. And I just started out with like the iPhones and always being the buddy in the friend group to like pull out the phone and take the photo. I was always that kid, you know, setting it up on the back of the floor there to get the group photo of all the pals. And it just snowballed into me getting a $500 used camera. And that world started and it kind of took off, I guess, on the personal side of things. Like I was a huge car guy and I loved cars and I would always like go take photos of all my buddies' trucks and whatnot. And then I started backcountry snowmobiling. And for some reason, I decided to bring both of those worlds together on the first year. So not only am I learning how to ride a backcountry snowmobile, I'm learning how to use a camera. And that sucked. I was so bad at both of them, but I just loved it. And I was like, you know what? I want to do this. Like, this is it. It was really fun. And that's kind of when I started to, like, learn who you were. And I started learning about all the filmers and, like, there's, like, six of them.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I got a shot at this.
There's not many out there.
And then I went to my first heydays. My first heydays was, I think it was 2021, which is wild because
me.
I lived there. It was 45 minutes from my house the entire time.
Doesn't make it any better.
I know. But like I didn't even know about it. That's the thing. Like I may have been in like power sports and knew about it, but I wasn't like involved in it on social media. Like, I didn't know anybody or anything. And then, like, I started watching the C-Boys on YouTube, and I knew they were going to be at Heyday. So that's, like, why me and my buddy went and met all them, and, like, met Evan at his, like, we were walking on the pits, and all of a sudden we stumble upon a dirt bike. And it's like, oh, that's Evan's bike. And then he had happened to be standing right there. And then I saw you, and I don't know if I did it right away, but I was like, hey, David, like,
yeah, I can't remember either.
I know, like, kind of about cameras and kind of about sledding, but I don't know how to tie the two together. Like, what do I do? Then you kind of, like, gave me a little introduction and definitely hyped me up. And I came back to Heyday's on Sunday because I was there Saturday. I carried my camera around all day Saturday, didn't touch it. I was just, like, taking it all in. Then I came back on Sunday and just kind of ran around by myself, taking photos, met Ross then for the first time and got some tips from him. I was like, he's like, oh, man, you got to, like, just start shooting video, like, shoot video, do it. And just, like, talk to these companies and give it to them for free. Like, don't ask for money right off the bat. And that's when I found out, like, my camera couldn't do autofocus in video. So I'm, like, trying to figure that out. Like, I didn't know anything. And it was quite the whirlwind of
It's funny learning. Hearing you say that now, because now it's just, like, the boys. Like,
yeah.
Ross is a guy you just call up and BS and give a hard time. And, like, Ross was just up here a couple weeks ago and we raced dirt bikes. Nothing to do with work.
No.
Just having fun, hanging out, just, like, part of the crew. But, Tristan, you did a great job on – your timeline was – fast. You learned a lot. You were like baptism by fire.
For sure. I got thrown into it. Almost like I threw myself into it, but then I got drug in.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason for that is you presented yourself really well. You left I'm not trying to pump you up more right now, but you left a great impression of everybody.
Yeah.
So you almost could I was able to fake your way into it and learn along the way.
I don't know how to use a camera. I'm just a nice guy.
You learned a ton. I know we can keep going forever on that, but I think your big thing where you really learned a lot is you've done, technically, I think it'd be like 4 Polaris OEM shoots, because 2 trail shoots, 2 mountain shoots.
2 mountain shoots.
So like model year 24 and model year 25, you were on those with Stephen Clark.
Yep.
And that's like, I mean, that's a legit production.
Yeah.
That's learned a lot.
That was an eye-opener for sure. Because before that, like, the only hired jobs I've ever did was for you, like, Jackson. Jackson was my big.
Which is like the most running gun weekend of the year.
It was wild. Also, I've never been there. That was the first time I flew on an airplane.
Yeah.
We
have really,
really rocked your world. For sure. But yeah, it's doing that and then going into like a player shoot with Steven, it was zero to hero in a matter of like one winner.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it takes so many people to do a shoot like that. Like, people cook food for you on shoots? What? Like, that's kind of cool.
Craft services, love it.
That was insane. But having like a team of guys, like 5 guys, 6 guys, all there to do the same thing and capture video content, you can learn so much so fast.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they know, like, there's a reason they're there.
Right.
Like, I didn't really quite have a reason to be there because I didn't know a whole lot yet, other than maybe the muscle of the group, you know, the young buck. But yeah, you can learn so much so fast if you surround yourself with the right people.
Well, you look through those shoots and those 4 of those combined are like anywhere between 20 and 40 days, pretty much.
Yeah.
All those shoots, like, that's a lot of information coming in and learning technique and learning.
And those are just the big ones.
Yeah. And then there's been countless stuff. You were shooting stuff for Dan Adams, running his channel. So those of you who watch Next Level, Tristan's been doing those for the last two seasons.
Yeah. And that was like really ideal for me because I could practice filming snowmobiling and also, like, you're riding with one of the best guys to ever ride a snowmobile, so you're like, hey Dan, I just got stuck, like, what did I do?
Yeah,
you're learning that while you're learning the other thing, which is super awesome.
I want to talk about that specifically. And what I've loved about having you around is I completely admit I've become desensitized to a lot of this, doing mm-hmm. this for 10 to 15 years now. And you've kind of like sparked that, oh yeah, this is cool, back into me on things.
Sick.
And I can't think of a specific example right now, but we've been doing stuff and you're just kind of like, holy shit, we get to go do this now?
Yeah, I know. And I know one for sure.
What's that?
It was my first year at Jackson. We like, we're up on the hill all day and we're like, we had to go film the freestyle show.
Oh yeah.
And you're kind of like dragging your feet a little bit. I'm like, David, we get to go film backflips in a parking lot after we just filmed all these sleds going up the hill. I'm like, this is sick. I was like, that's cool.
Yeah. So the trial by fire continues. This last December, we had a window. You were still working with Steven, mm-hmm. or just about to start working for the Polaris Model Year 25 shoot. And you had this small window, and we were like, I'm going to Revy. We're going to get the band back together and shoot a first. I think we got two Webbies out of that.
Can't remember. No, it was one.
It was one. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get you to Revelstoke so bad, mm-hmm. and so you can experience that. And thank God we have a great group of guys there, and they saw me go through this process also of just getting my ass kicked on the mountain. Mm-hmm. From day one to when we left, your riding progression, thank God, was incredible. Because day one, now looking back, because now you're right there all the time.
Yep, you can say it. Go ahead.
You were horrible.
Terrible.
To the point where I was like, okay, we got this. We're going to get him through it. He's gonna be great.
I honestly had the thought on like the first day, like I still use my camera, but it was far, few and far between. I was like, I don't know that I can film for this. It's like, this is bad.
And I was like, do we bill him for a
It's like, wow, what is going on? And granted,
nerves for sure in that scenario come into play.
I'll throw out a few excuses here. I think it's a good fair. Spot for them.
They're all understandable.
First ride of the year. I mean, we did ride one time, but it was like
logging
the
road.
Like that doesn't count. And I'm surrounded by all these pros in Revelstoke. It's like, I wanted nothing more than to be there. And I was like, forgot how to ride a snowmobile. Yeah. 100% forgot how to ride a snowmobile.
Let me set the stage. Cody Borchers, Cody McNulty, Jay Menaberry,
Josh Gerber,
Scott Iyer. Who else? I feel like there's one
more. Nadine was there a couple days.
Was Riley there?
Riley Suhan, yep.
Yeah. Yep. Like it was a stacked crew.
Yeah. It was massive. And the first day we went up, what was it?
We
went right up to Turtle.
Up to Turtle, yeah.
Yeah. And we're sitting around and you're like, yeah, this is like Andreas's gap. And I just watched it. I'm like, what am I doing here? It's like,
yeah, showing you Andreas's big five gap in person is pretty humbling.
It's
very
humbling.
Yeah.
I can't fathom putting a snowmobile across that.
No, it's insane. It's such a sniper landing too.
Yeah, it's nuts. I love Revelstoke, though. Yeah. I'm so ready to go back because I need redemption. It was bad.
We need to just get back in the habit of doing the boys' trip in December once, too. Like, not for work. Like, that's such a fun first ride of the year because usually the snow is pretty good there in December. And just get that, you know, summer and snow show jitters out after talking about snowmobiles for two, 3 months and get out and just ride for fun. And
It's good to have a first trip like that for sure. I don't know if my first trip is that one just yet, though. I want to get like three rides in before that. That way, because this was my fourth season mountain riding. I mean, the first two, I still lived in Minnesota. So it was like I rode, you know, 12 times, 12 days. So I need like six trips before I go hang out with the Canadians.
Yeah.
But that trip to Revelstoke, I had a trip to Steamboat with my buddies who still live in Minnesota. Yeah. So that got me warmed up for them, and I was shredding.
It's perspective is everything. Yeah. When you start questioning your progression, and then you ride with a crew that you've ridden with your whole life,
mm-hmm.
and you know you don't want to be cocky or brag, but no. It's reassuring that you've learned stuff.
For sure.
Yeah.
And if you go into a ride like I did in that, knowing that you're the worst rider there, you're going to be the worst rider.
Mindset.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
That's, you just can't.
What with like your guys, like, you know, for, all right, we've been riding together for 3 years, your buddies from back home, say there's six of you and you know you're like middle of the pack always.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, Bill and Jim are for sure the better of the two. And then you come back and ride with them after 2-3 months of riding in the West. Sure. And all of a sudden you're like spanking the two best riders. It's such a weird thing to say. It's not like, you know, look at me guys, but it's just more like fulfilling for yourself for progression.
Knowing that all those times when you're in the trees, rolling your snowmobile over, you know, sweating off in the trees, and you're like, man, I need to get out of here. And then you go ride with your buddies. You're like, let's go into those trees.
Yeah. You're like, we don't want to go
especially
in there.
When they are the ones that got you into it, and then you pass them.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's like a cool dad moment with your friends.
The flip side of that is with your buddies or just people in general is when you've been riding for 10 plus years in the West, whatever, you start getting people that are like, I don't want to slow you guys down. And like, which I hate, because we've all been there. We were that person. Sure. And if I'm going out, if I invited you, like, that's, don't say I don't want to slow you down. Like, I know what your skill set is. Mm-hmm. If I'm going with somebody, I'm not going with them, like, unless I know where they're at. And if they're like year two or whatever, I'm inviting you because I just love the fact that you love snowmobiling. And if you want to work on stuff, who cares, man?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to get any better if you keep riding with people that are the exact same skill set as you.
If the guy inviting you, they usually have a good judgment on what kind of ride it's going to be.
Yeah.
You know, if it's going to go be a fun ride or it's going to be like a every man for himself, let's go into the depths of it kind of ride. So, yeah, never be that guy. Like, if you're getting invited, you should go.
If there's a guy that does not get enough credit in this industry, he's kind of a niche guy. Like, everybody knows who he is, though. Trent Hooks, being a dairy farmer from Michigan who's flies out and rides with me twice a year. The guy shreds.
Different snowmobile every time.
Never on his own equipment. He's always riding one of my sleds. Every year it's a different sled.
Yeah.
And he's just on one. Like, this year he really impressed me.
Yeah. He really impressed me. I think he may have been the problem.
Yeah.
Like, Trent's first ride and he's shredding. I'm like,
Trent's 33, kids.
Rolling over on the trail. Like, come on.
He spends his whole time sitting in a tractor. And I gave him a 165 boost to ride. So he had a good crutch.
Just gotta point it in the right direction.
Yeah.
I couldn't even do that.
You definitely. There's a few times we had to like calm me down. It's okay, buddy. Don't overthink it.
No. But then, you know,
it's also really, really nerve wracking terrain if you've never been in it. It's nowhere like anywhere in the U.S.
No. I mean, you're still like technically mountain riding, but when you put it all in the big pot of like what you're actually doing, it's gnarly. But then all you need is like one confident line and then you're back in the game.
It's also a pretty gnarly place early season because that place fills in a ton when the snowpack obviously starts stacking up.
Yeah.
So there's some just gnarly, big mandatory drops and stuff and holes and creeks that aren't filled in. So it's like first couple rides of the year and you got on your toes. Mm-hmm. You got to be ready for whatever's coming at you.
It's getting thrown into it. That's how this industry works.
Yeah. I don't really know how else you'd even get into it, to be honest, besides just throwing yourself into it.
Yeah. You just hope that your buddies catch you.
Yeah. And just be a nice guy. Be a nice guy. What else have we been doing? You'd been living at my house all last summer, pretty much.
Yep. So I first started out working with you, like doing small jobs, and then got linked up with Steven, and that's how I like moved out to Idaho. Mm-hmm. Was like he gave me an opportunity to come out, live with him and work for him. And then that was during the winter. But then come summer months, things slow down a little bit and you guys had a bunch of work up here. So I would just go back and forth between Idaho Falls and 509 here. And that was a great summer.
Yeah. It was super fun. It was good. Cause your feet a little wetter on the dirt bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first year back on a dirt bike and, you know, since I was in my young teen, yeah. teen years.
You're getting fast. I'm hoping you start yeah. just, like, leaving me in the dust soon. I want
that so bad.
Like, I want you to because you yeah. got plenty of years of progression.
For sure.
And you're significantly younger, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, this is year two, and I've made significant progress, I would say.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to just be like, you lead Tristan, I'll catch mm-hmm. up eventually. Yeah. And I have zero shame in that. Yeah. But that's coming up on me quick. You're yeah. getting fast in the twisties.
I'm trying hard.
Yeah.
If like when you are saying like, oh, I'm just like cruising, you know, I'm pushing. Like not like all the time on speed, but any time that I can like learn and push on the bike,
yeah.
I do it. I turn it on and off on the trail all the time.
Yeah.
Like I'll like sprint for a bit and then I'll cool down.
Same.
But like I'll sprint and then all of a sudden like I'll get kicked and have a like crazy buck and like, oh, you got to slow down because I'm fast, but I crash a lot.
You do.
I crash my dirt bike so much.
And you are the least graceful person when it comes to crashing.
I feel like I get hooked on that thing all the time. Yeah. Like it just reaches out and grabs me. Like my boots get hooked on the pegs.
Although last night I had quite the showing there, two in a row.
Dude, I was right behind you doing the same thing because I tried to go down on the right and pass you. Fucking.
Did you fall too?
I didn't fall, but I like had to let go of the bike. My butt didn't hit the ground.
I caught my toe under that log yeah. and started falling, but my foot was stuck under it. So I'm just falling like I can't catch myself.
No.
And then I got up and I slid in that root. And I teetered, like, that point where, like, you're not moving at all. Uh-huh. Both feet are on the pegs, and I'm just, like fighting it with, like, my leaning, like. Yep.
You're pushing your eyeballs to yeah. the other side.
Just slowly fell into yeah. the creek again.
That balance point, we all know it. It's, yeah. like, if you just move the way you want to go, it'll solve your problem, and you'll be good. But you can't bring yourself to do it because you're so, like, determined on what.
But also, I feel like you need to throw your weight, and when you like wind up to throw your weight, yeah. it pushes you in the direction right, of falling. Right. So it's such a weird.
Yeah. We need to get better at that. We need yeah. to balance on our dirt bikes more.
I know. I try to just sit there in like second gear sometimes and slowly inch and yeah. slip the clutch. But
well, I think like static balance.
Yeah.
You need to do that.
I don't know how. Dirt bikes are a yeah. absolute
different world for
different
sure.
world, but
we can static balance on our sleds pretty good.
Yeah, I'm more of a 3 points of contact yeah, kind of guy.
For sure.
I was just talking to Jay Menaberry, a little big on the phone, and he was talking about just how terrible we are riding dirt bikes because he just wrote.
He said
Keith,
that.
Just all of
oh,
us.
Oh yeah.
He just
yeah,
rode with yeah. Keith Curtis, and he's just like pissed. He's mm-hmm. like, Keith kicks my ass on the race course. Now he's kicking my yep. ass at Hard Enduro. And Jay's like, I'm a CVT kind of clutch guy. And I go, yeah. I say that all the time.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Like, man, if I could get a Stark where they figure out a map on that programmer that mm-hmm. delivers low-end power really smooth, and then the left side where a clutch would be is a rear brake,
yeah,
I'd be so comfy.
I do enjoy.
There's a lot of people that are just like, oh, learn how to ride it. I'm, yeah. like, I'm trying, but.
Yeah, we're trying. It is nice having. Like, I've never tried on a dirt bike, but having that, like, on a mountain bike and a Suron,
yeah.
that finger rear brake is nice.
It feels so much more control.
And faster. Like, yeah. I struggle with going into right-handers because I can't have my foot on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you don't have the brake. And I probably crash on right-handers a lot because I, like, grab too much front brake
and just stuff
and
it.
And just stove it.
Yeah, so snowmobile season was just blur. I bet a lot of people can relate, except I really feel for the guys in the Midwest and the East yeah. Coast. That's
tough.
Brutal. Being a guy that grew up in Minnesota, I remember trying to ride as late as I could. It'd be March, late March. We have a good snow year. The north end of our field or property had trees, tall trees, and there'd be this patch that would stay there, and I'd ride across the grass and just ride this patch of snow until it was gone. And they didn't have that. I mean, there was
no.
a few ditch-banging moments yeah. here and there, and then pouring rain and gone.
And if it did snow, it was like
yeah.
2 days, and that was it.
And a bad winter in the West, which I am aware we're spoiled after growing up in the Midwest. Not saying for people sure. out here don't appreciate it, but I do believe you have a little different outlook on it when you grow up where you don't have like four seasons in one season, like this time of the year right now.
Right.
Sick. We're talking about riding snowmobiles on Saturday. It's first week of May, and then we could go ride dirt bikes or play golf on Sunday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, but what I was getting at is it's just been like the weirdest, longest season while also being a short season because we've had like false spring, winter, spring, winter. Yeah,
a couple times.
60 degrees in March, snowed 2 feet in the mountains.
Right.
Like back and forth, back
it,
and forth.
That's kind of how it was like midwinter though too because it would be really bad. The snow would be terrible and then all of a sudden you get a wicked storm and be great. And then it was just like up and down. It was never like consistently good. It was always like bad or really good.
Yeah. And I mean, we get such weird, you know, from being down in Idaho Falls, it stays relatively cold because higher elevation in town there. But we get up here the biggest temp swings because the valley bottoms are so low.
Yeah, for sure.
And I mean, we had days, I think, I want to say we had like a 70 degree day in early March. It, just weird stuff. And then it snowed like 3 feet. And so my brain's timeline on what month it is has been like so skewed for the last 2 months
for sure.
But then we just threw ourselves right into it. We raced a race 2 weeks ago, dirt bike race. Old Muddy Butt,
just two weekends,
the good old boy local race. Man, and
that was fun.
Yeah, good little ass kicker after having I think maybe two rides on the bike before that.
Yeah, I think we got two. They were pretty good rides, but it was like different train. Muddy Butt's pretty fast and flat. Yeah. And we don't really like ride like that.
No, that's not my thing. No. I'm like slow and
slow, technical.
Crappy.
For sure. I feel like that comes from snowmobiling.
Definitely. It's just that I've talked about before on this, but it's that mindset of like going up a drainage or tree riding and picking your line and trying to be as efficient. And that's why that, like, I don't know, if I have a defined path I have to stay on, I just like don't really get into it versus it's there's multiple line options to take and you're going slow and trying to evaluate where am I gonna get best traction, can I get enough drive into this, like
you're pretty good at the whole picking the line thing.
I have my moments. I definitely have some bad moments too.
Most of mine are pretty bad.
But next weekend, week from, let's see, this will come out on Tuesday, so in like 3 days from now, we're doing a hard enduro, which is more my pace, Ross Robinson's pace, Jay Manaberry too. Actually, Ross is pretty fast.
He's pretty fast.
I actually think Ross is better at that than the techie stuff.
I would agree.
Yeah, but that's going to be a fun one. That's the Mountain Moto Co. race up at Bonner's Ferry. If you want to see a bunch of sledders try to ride hard enduro, we'll be up there. We'll be camping, hanging out, having a good time. And then we got the big boy in June, end of June. I think it's the 27th-ish. It's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday race this year. Yeah. Silver Kings hard enduro at Silver Mountain in Kellogg, Idaho. That's I don't know why we keep signing up to do it.
Dude, because it's fun.
It's
a punisher for sure.
Type 2 fun for sure. Yeah. To like the definition of, but Tristan, you are racing it this year
I filmed it last year and got to ride around a little bit and see it. So I know like what's coming and I couldn't be more excited. I'm so excited to race it.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think you're going to have fun in that class. You're running B.
Running B for the first year. And I assume it'll go good, I want to say.
I think they amplified the B course last year for sure. I heard guys complaining really big time 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
And now last year, there's guys still taking 3 hours to do it.
Yeah, last year was good. I heard a lot of good feedback on that. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's top 30 to get into racing A on Saturday. And if I do that, I'll race it with you guys.
Sick. I need like a B plus class. I think like, I wish that was a thing.
You're right on the line.
Because silver is tough. Because the way qualifying works, you have your prologue on, well, this year it'll be Thursday. Normally it's been Friday.
Yep.
And it's like two nasty hill climbs.
Yeah.
Which I struggle on those like third gear wicked hill climbs.
For sure.
And then that seeds you for where you start on for the main event. Mm-hmm. So like last year I had this problem where I got behind, I was slower than all these people that grease this hill climb. But then the main event's primarily pretty hard techie stuff,
yeah,
which is way more my thing. So I was stuck behind so many people.
Right. Cause you still have to do those hills.
Yeah.
In
later in the race, but way later in the race. Yeah. So my goal this year is to just get that hill climb out of the way and qualify better. And
it's kind of a hard thing to practice.
I don't know where that hill specifically.
You gotta have a good hill.
I think that hill's called Full Gas, which.
Yeah. Which you need it.
Yeah.
For sure. I think
B year, runs that hill too.
Dude,
I'm not sure.
Give me that hill.
Which
I want it.
Would be.
If I don't make it, like if I don't clean it, I'm turning right back around and I'm doing it again. Because I think that's why so many guys got stuck there is because there's like a catwalk on it and they almost made it and they tried so hard to just like get to it.
That's what I did.
It's like just go down and like give it another shot.
You say that, but then once you. Looked at it, it's scary because there's bikes coming down that didn't make it, and like everybody's out of control.
There's rocks flying out at the bottom of it filming, and there's like rocks tumbling down this hill.
I thought that, and then after my first try at it, I kind of was like, okay, I'm up here now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really want to go back down and try to
find a friend and get both the bikes on the on the catwalk.
Shout out to that guy who drug me up,
yeah.
And I just ditched him. Sorry.
I have ample footage of that group.
I felt kind of bad about that. He's a nice guy. I helped him too. But once you get your mo and you get going, there's no stopping.
Turns out he won.
Yeah.
he passed you like 30 minutes later. You like racing?
I don't know.
So you've raced Silver Kings twice.
Three times.
Three times. Muddy Butt twice or three times?
Twice.
Would you like Silver Kings?
It's the best one for sure. Yeah.
Do you like getting passed, or does that fire you up?
Oh, I don't care.
Really?
At all. Like, at a race like Silver Kings?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to survive.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, at that race, who passes me and who's ahead of me, it does not matter because I'm just trying to get close to even finishing it is a win in my eyes.
For sure.
Now, I don't...
I was pretty fired up in Muddy Butt.
See, I'm not good enough at it to care. Like, if it was a sled race, like, if they had that same format, like a hard enduro style, kind of like what Riley Suhan's doing, but there was numerous guys out in the course at the same time, then my confidence would be way higher.
For sure.
I'd know my limits. Yeah, I know that I'd know how to fall. Then I'd be, like, charging. But on that, it's just fun. It's just the survival side of it and the unnecessary pain you put yourself through.
For sure. I definitely.
You could see it in your eyes. Different. You were fired up at Muddy Butt.
I started the race. It's a relay race for those that don't know. So like three laps, me and David here, we're on a team. And one guy starts off the line with, 50 plus other dudes in your class, I would say.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of
bikes. There's a lot of bikes. And I didn't pull up the line fast enough, and I started in second row. I'm like, crap. And I tried passing so many guys before I even got to the first turn that I wadded it up.
I saw you disappear in a dust cloud.
Into the dust cloud, and this guy's like on his brakes. I'm on the gas, like right into him. Dump it. And I'm like, I must have crashed, I think, five times on my first lap. Just because I was trying to go so fast, and that whole race, so my all three laps, I only got passed four times when I wasn't on the ground. So when I crashed, I got passed, but I always caught back up to the guy, which technically I didn't get passed, but it's not the most efficient way to race a race.
Yeah.
But when I did get passed, it was obviously like by a pro or an A guy, because you can tell just how much faster they are.
Well, it was tough too, because you started back in the pack of B.
Yeah.
Like you were dead last off the line after you fell.
Right.
Yeah. Like you had a good drive, but then you got caught up in that. So.
Yeah. But when someone better than you passes you, I watch them for as long as I can, try and keep up. And it's tough, man.
It's crazy.
It's how like you're trying to go fast, but you're also like trying to watch what they do different and mm-hmm. like take notes of that. And I don't know. I hate getting passed, but I love racing.
Yeah. Yeah. I felt good the first lap. I know I passed like 20, 25 guys,
yeah.
which I think helped us get faster, because then your next lap was faster. Yeah. We got out of yeah. some of those dudes that were just.
Yeah. Kickstarting their bikes and you're like yeah. waiting for them. It's like, get out of my way.
I crashed once and it was, I made the best of my one crash.
Pretty good one. It was all of my 9 crashes combined into one.
I went down pretty hard in the last lap. I was charging in third gear. Ended up with a little concussion. Caught a stump. There's a million cutoff stumps that are yeah. anywhere from a beer can to a Folgers can right next to the trail yep. from 4 inches to 12 inches tall. Yeah.
Right around like all the way to peg height.
Yeah. And I caught one with my, I don't know how hindsight, I don't know if it was just compressing right, how it missed my peg.
Yeah.
But caught my rear swing arm, popped my chain off, which then the chain instantly bound up, rear tire locked up, sent me into a skid, and a unexpected skid is different than I'm locking the brakes up skid.
For sure.
And I started going sideways. Oh,
so you didn't crash off the stump, you crashed off the skid.
Yeah. I started sliding. Yeah. I rode it out, but right, it all happened at one motion pretty much. Wham, stump, chain off, rear tire lock.
Yeah.
And I was skidding and everything's just, there's ruts and all this yeah, stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think what happened was, because I bounced, I think my front tire went in a different rut. My rear went in uh-huh. cross-rutted, and then when I started sliding, then it washed out.
For sure.
But then I caught, like, on a root or something and got high-sided and thrown off and mm-hmm. hit my head and had that moment of, like, doo.
Yeah.
And, like, everything's ringing for a second, and that moment I went, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. Sat there for a second looking around, trying to get my bearings.
Yep. Like,
do I remember? I'm David. Check. What am I doing? I'm racing a dirt bike. What kind of dirt bike do I ride?
Yep. Is it red?
Yeah. Got up and definitely finished the rest of that lap sitting down.
Yeah. When I was sitting in the pits waiting for you, we're like,
when it went over like 40 minutes,
we're like, man, because my last two laps were like, I was on fire.
Yeah.
And then I handed it off to you, and I was, like, watching the clock. I'm like, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then you come down the hill sitting down, and you could tell, like, something was not right.
Well,
like,
I was, like, shoulders a little tweaked, too. I was yeah. riding one-handed for a while.
Yeah, like, putting through the mud puddle. I'm like, no, what happened?
It's racing.
Yeah, that's as long as you, like, I was happy to, like, see you finish, like, not have to be, like, drug back by a four-wheeler.
Yeah. No, I was like, I'm fine yeah. to finish. I'm just going to putz along here. I pretty much just put her in third and yeah. just went.
You're going to have to check your chain. Might be a little loose.
Yeah. I did tighten it after that.
Oh, that's yeah. good. No, that whole You're lucky you got it back on. Usually that's like impossible.
I just put it in neutral and yeah. yanked the tire backwards, and it had just like crisscrossed itself, kind of like one of, you know, it turned into an S yeah. right on a sprocket, and it just broke free right away.
Yeah, so like the bottom was probably still on.
Yep, and then it was in the chain guide still.
Yep.
So I just got it hooked in the bottom and then pushed it forward, and it, yeah. I had to put a little effort into it, and it popped on. And
nice.
It was like all those motions were first try. Like came off, got it hooked, pushed forward, and came back on.
That's good.
And I was like, oh, sweet.
Meanwhile, Talladega's going past me. Yeah.
But by that point in the race, there was just abandoned dirt bikes everywhere.
Yeah, there's guys sitting on the side, and you're like, riding by, and you look at them, they're on their phone calling their buddy, come get me.
Did you see them all when we left and we like pulled out in the trucks on the side of the road? There was like ones they drug out of the woods. And
oh, yeah, I did see that.
Sitting there for people to pick yeah. them up.
Yep. There's plastic everywhere by the yeah. third lap.
There's like fenders and shrouds and yeah.
Muddy Butt's a good race.
It's just different. It's mm-hmm. It's a once a year style. It's more of just a hair scramble.
Yeah, I would say it's, I wouldn't say it's a hard enduro.
No,
it's a hair scramble for sure.
Speaking of that Stark stuff, Jay just sent me this dude in like Finland or Sweden. Let me look. He just won some big hard enduro on a Stark.
Is it Taddy?
Eddie Carlson. It doesn't even make sense. Look at this.
Oh, I did see this.
And look at how much he's loading this thing. Like,
I could see Jay buying one of these.
I would get an electric one if they could get a comfortable 50-mile range on them.
Yeah.
The reality, we never really do much long distance stuff.
No, and if you ever did do that, just bring your bike.
Yeah, but if they, or like that bike Spencer had a clutch on it.
Yeah.
It was weird.
That was fun.
It was cool, but it was weird for an e-bike, but it had a clutch. And if they could dial that in where you can, that CVT style setup that those run on, work great on motocross or supercross track.
Right.
But for anything slow pace, yeah, enduro.
Clutch is your friend.
Yeah.
You need one of those for sure.
It'd be interesting. I know Jay was just talking about that to me. He's like, I'd be so much more comfortable on it.
Yeah.
Not to find like the easy way out, but. Right.
Yeah. We don't like the easy way.
But
I feel like if you ride a Recluse, it might be Recluse guys might have an easier transfer one of those than you would.
I think sledders will have the easiest out of anybody.
Yeah. I could see a couple sledders putting thumb throttles on them.
Be so sketchy.
You ever I wonder if anybody's put a twist throttle on a snowmobile.
I feel like I saw something way back in the day on like a Snow West farm. That's
probably a bad day.
There's on Snow West farm or like Hardcore Sledder. Yeah. Shout out to anybody who remembers Hardcore Sledder forums, HCS. Mm-hmm. It's a good one. I used to go on there and buy old snowcross parts. Really?
What's a forum?
Yeah, right. It was like before Reddit was a thing or Facebook even.
Right.
Do Talk. I remember Do Talk. That was a good one. That one still exists. Snow West Forum. The Ski-Doo one.
Ski-Doo. Yeah.
And then there was Arctic Chat.
That's a pretty good name.
Yeah, the Arctic Cat one.
Dang.
Yeah, Hardcore Sledder.
Arctic Chat.
I feel like I'm missing one. Those were the big ones.
Yeah.
I had accounts on all of them.
Nice.
For sure. This is the best place to find old snowcross sleds when we didn't have Marketplace or Craigslist, really.
Good old Craigslist.
What else we got on the agenda here coming up? We got, 509 days coming up. It is, I'm looking into the future, you guys. Today is Tuesday, wink, wink, which is the 7th in 2 days from now, wink, wink. May 9th is 509 day. We are launching a LE gear set in dirt. It's pretty sweet. There's going to be some deals on the street side. And I can't remember right now what the deals are on snow. Yeah.
A little bit of action all over the place.
Yeah. All three categories. Street's been cool to see. We'll dive into that some point this summer. But it's starting to create a little buzz that Commander helmet is actually there's one sitting right here.
No,
it's not one with that setup. But
that one doesn't have.
Anyways, it's there's snow and street version Mach V and Delta V Commander collab with Cardo. Cardo integrated into the helmet. No more of that massive piece hanging off the side.
Right.
JBL audio. It's a damn cool helmet for the price point.
Talk to your buddies, listen to music.
Yeah.
Just tune out the noise.
It's pretty sweet. It's been fun learning about that. You've learned quite a bit about it too, because you've been doing a lot of product shoot stuff.
I made a how-to video while learning how to use it. And there's a lot there.
Yeah.
For sure.
I understand why we had to make those how-to videos because it's a lot to digest.
For sure. For sure. They even have a tail light in them.
Yeah.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. The chase light's awesome. Yeah.
It's really cool for like the trail guys on sleds and the street guys.
Yeah.
Just having that, like, you can't call it a brake light, but having that third brake light, like, definitely adds a little bit of vision for sure.
Yeah. Good safety element, but it's just been cool to learn the street consumer.
Yeah.
Such a different world.
It's new for both of us.
Yeah.
Like, we're not street guys, but it's pretty cool.
It's cool. Like, the guys in design, Andy, for example, is a diehard motorcycle rider. I think he has like somewhere between 6 to 10 motorcycles.
Which is more snowmobiles than you have?
He has more motorcycles than I have snowmobiles.
Yeah. Right. Which, that speaks a lot.
Yeah, that means he's got to be really obsessed with motorcycles. He's
really into motorcycles.
Yeah. They're also significantly cheaper.
Yeah, that's true. David's cheapest snowmobile is probably, how much is that? It's probably the mod, huh?
It's the mod, the IQR.
How much is that? Like $8,000?
I can't even value it now because I got it for dirt cheap.
Yeah, it's tough.
I got it for $2,500 at the time.
Dang.
I'm sure you
can get a dusty motorcycle for like $50.
Yeah. I'm sure I could get, I don't know, the mod market's wild now. Yeah. You're between $5,000 and $8,000, depending on
what this does cheap. Not mean it's for sale.
No. It's never going to be for sale. No,
never.
It's my pride and joy. If anything, does anybody have anything else they want to sell? Like,
looking for a snowmobile.
Looking for a 04 to 07 Cat 600 factory mod and or 800 factory mod. Yep, looking for an 04 to 07 Rev 600 mod. Those are the two main ones.
While we're talking about older snowmobiles, what was your first snowmobile?
A 1995 or 1996 Articat Puma 340.
Okay.
Well, okay. I had a kitty cat before that.
Yeah, for sure. I guess like I also started on an old cat, but that's just like riding what you can. But yeah. Like, what's the first sled that you bought, like with your own money?
A 2000. Oh boy. I've had so many snowmobiles. I'm trying to remember which one was like the
first one.
I know it's the first new one I bought, like brand new.
Mine wasn't brand new when I started.
I had
ballpark year.
I had an 09 Ski-Doo TNT 600. Dang. That was the first brand new sled I bought.
Wow.
But before that, I think I had a Snowcross. I don't know. I had a Z370.
I don't even know what that is.
A 2004 Z370.
2004?
Yeah. And I got like a year old or something.
That count. Okay, we'll go 2004.
Fan cooled. I was 11 or something.
Dang. This is really going to put a perspective on how young I am and how little I've been snowmobiling. My first snowmobile that I bought was a 2019 2019 SKS 800.
You mean that one you just got rid of last year?
It was 2 years ago, but yeah.
Yeah.
That was the first one. It's what I learned to mountain ride on.
You're spoiled. You got to go back to trailing arms for a little bit.
I wasn't not spoiled. I mean, I just had a little bit more technology under me.
Mm-hmm.
But that comes with a price too.
Yeah.
Your first snowmobile is probably a bit cheaper than mine.
I remember my 09 was $6,800 out the door brand new.
Yeah. Paid $13,000 for mine. Tough sport we're in, huh?
Yeah. It's fun though.
Yeah, it sure is.
Tristan, let's see. Tristan and I were talking about, I'd love to have some sort of reoccurring, not topic. What's the word I'm looking for
not
here?
Theme, but activity.
Yeah. Segment. There we go.
That's it.
Gosh. A reoccurring segment. And when you do what we do, I mean, everybody loves music, of course, no matter for what sure. you do, but we spend a lot of time in the truck, a lot of time driving, a lot of time staring at a computer, a lot of time trying to find music to edit stuff to. You listen to a lot of music. Now, for me, as Tristan's learned, I don't intend to be, I'm a music snob, okay?
You're a music snob for sure.
If I wasn't doing this industry, I'd find something doing music. Like, yeah, I'd still do this stuff. Wearing. Yeah, Rhymesayers Records, Minneapolis. Uh-huh. So music plays a huge role into like me being ready to go ride.
Yeah.
So we want to kind of do a song of the week. Goal here is, guys, so 509 has a Spotify account, if you've seen it. It has, I can't remember how many films back I went. We made playlists for all the old snowmobile films on there. We're going to add a new playlist just called Songs of the Week and probably just continue to add to this playlist forever.
Yeah.
We each pick two songs of what's been on rotation this week, and maybe you guys love it, maybe you guys hate it, maybe you know it, maybe you've never heard it, maybe it's going to get you so fired up, or it's going to make you want to scratch your ears off the side of your head.
Yeah, not limited to hype-up songs, it's a little bit of everything.
Just how the week's been going.
Yep, you never know.
I think, okay, so I got the first one of the week. Actually, I didn't realize I was wearing this.
Boom.
Rhyme Sayers Records, Minnesota boy, born and raised here. Atmosphere.
Yep.
Modern Man's Hustle. Love Atmosphere. Been listening forever. It's kind of my intro to hip hop.
Yeah. Also my first ever concert.
Yeah.
Which was like not that long ago.
It was so crazy when I found Tristan, we had to take him out from under this rock he was living in.
Huge rock.
Huge.
No airplanes, no concerts. Old snowmobiles, doesn't know how to ride them.
But my jam, kind of had it in, probably listened to it a few times this week, Modern Man's Hustle by Atmosphere. Yep. Got a 15-second sampler of it here. I don't know if we're going to get flagged for this, but...
Yeah, we'll see.
I don't remember which button it is.
It's that.
Is it red?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Starting off slow. I will show you all you need to know. You must hold on to anyone that wants you, and I will love you. You simple and the struggle, but girl, you gotta understand the modern man must hustle. What a vibe. That's a good one.
Yeah, it is. It's just one of those, like, feel good. Yeah. Nod your head back and forth. And
did we remember if he played that at the concert?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he did?
Yeah, because he did the intro, and I knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Heard the beat come in, and I love that song. It just makes me sway. Makes me think of a... As much as I don't miss it, makes me think of a Minnesota summer for some reason.
Oh.
Yeah, around the lake somewhere.
My first pick, this is a new one for me. I just found it recently, but it definitely, when I find a new song, I listen to it at least 20 times before like I have to start listening to other music because I find a song, I like it, and I just replay it. So we got Move On by Movement.
Where'd you come across this one?
Oh, I couldn't tell you. My music is so all over the place. I'm like, I find a song I like, and I go to that song's radio, and then I go to, like, it just branches off.
All right. Letterbox. Make sure my mic is loud and my production is tight. That Rhyme Sayers vibe.
Yeah. Plant this first ball like a seed. My verse will grow from it. Life is peaks and valleys. I flow for the
summit. And know if I plummet, I will rise again. It's underground hip-hop for sure.
Yeah. It's got that, like, could be in a sick edit vibe.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of our music taste comes from, is we always listen to music thinking, man, I could make a sick edit to this.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's, for me, I don't know if you watched much snowboarding growing up, but many of these old snowboard films were, like, underground hip-hop.
Yeah.
And that industry didn't directly overlap with snowmobile world, but we were still actively in the same landscape
for sure. Yeah,
and so I think that's kind of where that whole, I mean, being a skateboarder and being in the Twin Cities and stuff, like all that underground hip hop scene was so big. That's just stuck with me. But what's really stuck with me is anything from Slednecks 1 through the end of Slednecks.
Yeah,
Crusty Demons, Turnagain Hardcore, Two Stroke Cold Smoke. Rough Riders, shout out to the Scandinavians, all of that. And if everybody who knows me, I have a massive soft spot for punk rock and metal. Double Bass really fires me up. And in rotation this week has been The Faded Line by Lamb of God. Doesn't that just get you ready?
Oh, legs are jittery. Oh man, my music is pretty wide, but I quite haven't got to there yet.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever will though, because it's an era thing for me.
Yeah, I definitely miss that era. We're more like EDM style, like in all of the new edits kind of thing.
Yeah, like beat, like robot sounds. Yeah, robots having sex sounds.
Yeah,
I'm not into
robots.
That.
Big robot guy.
Thankfully, I have the homies on the team, like the Cody Borchers, McNulty's, Turcotts, who are the guys in those films, so I can let that stuff slap anytime I'm with them, and they are right there with me. Wrapping it up with
Yep.
Right on cue with my skater punk here for you. I'm impressed.
I like skater punk.
Yeah.
I vibe with it. We're coming in last with I Hear You Calling, Gob.
I was trying to figure out, I know, I think this is on some video game.
Yeah.
I might have to Google it. I see you now about the fourth time, baby, but you know that I got nothing to say. It's so charming to look on your face, but you're rising, buying something. Yeah, that's a phenomenal track.
What a banger.
Calling, video game. I'm Googling this. I swear it's on like a... I don't think it's on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, but I swear it's on like Dave Mirra BMX or Matt Hoffman or something.
I'm super bad about like that song. Why it's on this list is I heard it once, like, you know, recently, and all of a sudden it got stuck in my head and I start singing it and then you start singing it and stuck in both of our heads.
Yeah.
That's...
It happens in this office quite frequently. This is why you wouldn't know. NHL 2020 or 2002 PlayStation. It was on that.
I had one NHL game, but I couldn't tell you what it was.
2002, that song was on it.
Yep.
It's funny how so many songs you remember from video games of all things.
For sure. Rob Zombie would be. I remember I had the snowmobile game growing up in.
Sledstorm?
Maybe. I think Tulane Blacktop is Rob Zombie, right?
What was the song?
Tulane Blacktop.
I'm sure it sounds like a Rob Zombie. Yeah,
Dragula was on there too for sure, which is 100% Rob Zombie. And I think that's where my rock music started.
Yeah, I love me a little Rob Zombie. Mm-hmm. Interesting man, to say the least.
I'm excited for next 2 weeks' music because we got a traditional 509 Studios song that I think needs to get on the list.
Break Stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know which part of Break Stuff we can play.
I know.
Limp Bizkit. Hot take. The older you get, the more you respect Limp Bizkit.
Yep.
Yeah.
My birthday's coming up. I'll check back in.
I also enjoy that they are having like their second coming right now.
Yeah.
Anyways, kind of fun. Separate a little bit from the sled moto world, but you know.
It's something we all like.
Yeah. Maybe some of those tracks you'll look into further, and it might be one of your new favorite artists. Who knows? Thanks, Tristan.
Yeah.
We're going to be kicking it a lot here. Tristan, like I said, is going to just kind of co-host, and we're going to be able to keep pumping out podcasts for you guys to listen to and keep you occupied through the spring, summer, fall, and hopefully the inevitable future here. But if you're watching on YouTube, throw us a thumbs up, please, unless a thumbs down if you couldn't stand this.
Don't do that.
Toss a comment. If there's any topics or anything, if you got any hot takes, anything you want us to dive into in the future here, we're all ears.
For sure.
If you're on Spotify or Apple, we appreciate every single 5-star review. Keeps pushing it and excited to get back on this consistently so we can keep pushing it to new listeners. And check out, you know, everything that we just chatted about gear-wise, street, dirt, snowside at ride509.com or visit your local dealer.
Yep, big day coming up.
And we will see you on the next one.
Yep, and in the comment section. I think they should drop their favorite song or their song of the week.
Oh, yeah. Give us a recommendation on a song, maybe.
Yep.
Maybe we'll play it.
Well, maybe we could add in like a
weekly recommendation app. Yep. See, we're still
we're dialing it in.
Yep. All right. Later, everybody.